same with Jesus himself. I'm so sorry that I missed your call, but if you leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hi there. This is the dad trying to get a hold of his kids, the husband trying to reconcile with his wife, because I'm in love with you and because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have noticed it's a constant theme because I remain in love with my wife. I think of you often. I think of you constantly. I did wonder about, you know, I mentioned yesterday about the video for Valentine's. I think I have a concept that hopefully I'll prepare tomorrow, because it's been a busy day, but tomorrow I have a lot of things to do, and because it's a warm day, it's a good day to take a hike, go to the store and whatnot, and I also want to do the video, so it's going to be a long day. But hey, you know, all days are long days lately, for a long time. I had a delightful conversation with my friend Chris today. He brought up the term that we see in most translations, self-control, in King James, temperance, we researched it, and it's just absolutely marvelous, you know, because we see it first in Acts 24:25, when Paul is in custody. And he said, and he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present, for I, when I get an opportunity, I will summon you." It's interesting because we discussed this reasoning. Well, reasoning is the word there is where we get the word dialogue. So I understand this is something that my family is scared of. Dialogue is scary, isn't it? Dialogue about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. And what was Felix's response? Felix was alarmed. And, you know, is that why people refuse to dialogue with me? Because they're like Felix. They have a position of power. They're comfortable. But they're fearful. They're fearful of what this implies. You know, it also is in Galatians 5:23. You know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is where we started our conversation, which is, yeah, there is no law against self-control. But the other thing that was fascinating was it's also in 2 Peter 1. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness, and your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness, love. Another translate ESV is, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love. You know, you'll see this several times. You see it in Romans and other places where one thing leads to another. In our dialogue, it's basically a maturing and a striving for the ultimate. So, you know, the fundamental, the easy things, virtue, knowledge, and then self-control. These are the easy things. But then what maturing gets you is godliness, brotherly affection, the Philadelphia, and love, the agape, the progression is amazing, and the implication is, if you can't do those fundamental things, virtue, knowledge, self-control, you'll never get to love. It was a fascinating discussion. It was a discussion I would love to share with my family. my kids, and even Jim Cross. Because, again, as I said yesterday, dear Mr. Cross, I am not your enemy. I'm your ally. I am someone who would like to share the joy of being obedient to Christ with you. It's ironic. I actually talked with Chris, and I talked with another person today, sharing the delight that I've developed a good friend in Utah. It was a Mormon. And together, we are struggling with each other to yearn for the truth. Now, if I can do this with a Mormon, someone who I show respect to and shows respect to me, even as we tackle difficult things, don't you think someone who claims to follow Christ, like you claim, Mr. Cross, you and I should be doing at least the same, if not with greater depth? Should we not get from knowledge and self-control all the way up to not only brotherly affection, but love? Are you willing? Or are you going to continue to run? And I'm sorry, these are hard words. Cowards, run. Pointing you constantly to Revelation 21:8 about the coward. Brothers, contend. And again, let me remind you, contention in the scripture, struggling together, the agonizomai, is not trying to defeat each other. It is struggling together for a common goal, the truth. That's why the analogy is runners, not fighters. Please consider that. You and I, every day, get the pass. Every single voicemail I leave is one less voicemail in the future and one day closer to our death. Do you want to go to the grave celebrating that you refused to reconcile with a brother in Christ? And you're going to stand before the Lord and say, look, Lord, I avoided him. I would refuse to have any dialogue with him because I hate him and I want to punish him and I want to cause him grief? Or do you want to go to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for the grace you've shown in us, that even though, like myself and my friend who is a Mormon, we disagree, but we were willing to have a dialogue? Or is dialogue something like Felix in Acts 24:25 is alarmed at? I'm not going to play fluffy with you. I'm not going to market to you. You're a salesman. I'm an engineer. I'm looking for the truth. Forget your sales. Look for the truth. You claim to be an elder, someone with knowledge of the scripture. Prove it, live it, or you're a fraud. I'm not giving you simple words. I'm trying to reconcile with you. I'm a foul man. I'm a disgusting man, and so are you. And it's time for us to reconcile before one of us is dead. This got a little long, but allow me to remind you, Dorothy Jane, I love you.